Welcome to this message from God's Word. We are so glad you joined us today. It is our prayer that God speaks to you and encourages you through this study. Now sit back, grab your Bible, and get ready to hear from the Lord.
We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It might be a passage that you might be familiar with, but we're going to dig into it as we begin a new series for the next couple weeks on looking at what parenting is like and all the different aspects of parenting. And I don't know how many of you are parents or maybe you know a parent, but I'm praying that this can be applicable to grandparents as well as we really look at what God's design is for us as we disciple our kids to love Jesus. That's what we want them to do, is to really love Jesus. And so we're going to be looking at parenting. It's one of those things. I don't know if you are a parent, you know a parent, or you have parents, but you can say, we can all agree, I think, that it's pretty difficult, right? Wouldn't you say parenting's pretty difficult? I think there's a lot of us that wish we had a manual in certain situations to like go to and say, no, don't, hold off there. This is what it looks like. But we have God's word that gives us direction and what it looks like to really raise children to love the Lord. And so that's what we're going to look at over these next couple weeks. This morning we're going to look at kind of a foundation is what's the priority for us as parents? And that's why we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I think as we understand parenting can be very challenging, it can also be awesome and wonderful. And one of the things I love about parenting is all the kind of library of funny stories that you get. All those times you kind of turn to each other and say, remember when this happened or this happened? And it's just kind of funny. You know, we had one of our boys that forever, just about 2 or 3 months, always said instead of yesterday, he would always say lasterday. And I'm like, that kind of makes sense. And he said it for months. We couldn't get him turned around. So I was like, maybe we should change it to lasterday. It kind of makes sense. But, there's all those things that I'm guessing you have seen, that they're just really kind of cute and kind of fun and kind of, but also there's difficult times. And there's very painful times when kids kind of go their own way, their own direction, make their own decisions, and all of a sudden they're not kind of really following the ways that you've kind of taught them. And so this morning we're going to look at the parent's priority. And if you have in the back of your bulletin, if you ever want to take notes, it's a great way to take notes. Maybe you can follow up or go back to different verses as well. But this is the parent's priority. This is our goal as parents. This is what it looks like, is that we as parents would gradually transfer the dependence that's upon us to solely relying upon God. That's what we are. That's our whole goal. Because the thing is that dependence will transfer at some point. And it's going to transfer to the world. It's going to transfer to things and other friends, or it's going to transfer like we desire to lead them to the Lord. And that's what we want them to do. And I don't know what stage you're in. Maybe you've got kids in the little stage where they literally just kind of cling to you and they depend upon you for everything. Or there's the stage where we kind of put them in the back seat and all of a sudden they pelt us with questions every couple seconds and you can't even think. And then there's the stage, maybe some of you experienced the teenage stage where they put in the earbuds and they don't look up. They just kind of look at their phone a lot. And maybe you've, kind of felt like Mark Twain before where he said, when they're 13, what we should do is we should put them in a barrel and we should nail the lid shut. And then he said, feed them through the knot hole. But then he said, when they're 16, plug the knot hole. And it's kind of like that stress that we feel, and it's like 60, we're kind of at each other a little bit, and we kind of have this difficulty. But the goal as parents is to transfer that dependence upon us over to the Lord. That's what our whole desire is, and our God-given responsibility is to our children. So we're going to have this as a foundational verse, Deuteronomy chapter 6, this morning. Just a little bit of background. Deuteronomy chapter 5 is where we get what? The Ten Commandments. Okay, everybody remembers kind of the Big Ten where God would challenge his people to live by the Ten Commandments. And then he literally gives us one of the greatest teachings when he's talking about the Ten Commandments on parenting. It's one of the most wonderful examples that we can use on parenting. So we're going to dig into that this morning. And if you're in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to read the first two verses for us. This is what it says. These commandments and decrees and laws your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. Did you hear that? Did you see the impact and the importance of parenting? It's incredibly vital. We have to literally, it'll change you. It'll change your children. It'll change their children. So literally, we have the chance to impact generations as we raise our kids to love the Lord. And so as we transfer that dependence from us to the Lord, it's incredible. It'll change you. It'll change your children. It'll change your children's children. So we literally have the power to change generations. That God has given us that power to shape and form within our kids these God-given responsibilities. So out of this passage, we're going to look at two different principles. And we're going to have two different main points, and they're very simple, but I pray that God's going to use it for you, use it in your life. The number one principle, and the first aspect is that Scripture teaches us that we are to love your God. We are to love God. And this would have been a verse that the literally Jewish, devoted Jewish followers would have said all throughout the morning, the afternoon, and at night, three times a day. And they would have written it on the doorpost. This is from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So how much are we called to love God with? Everything, 100%. It doesn't say with some or a little bit or just give a percentage. It just says love God with all of your heart. But the thing is, how often and how common is it for many of us to love God with just some of our heart? I mean, that's very convicting. I mean, do we really love God with all of our heart? Do we love God with just some of our heart? And I got to tell you, as parents, it's incredibly dangerous to set an example where we are loving God with just a little bit. With just a little bit. Because what happens is then they're going to have just a little bit of God. That's what's going to happen. They're just going to have, to give you an example, most of us, maybe a lot of us, I know a lot of people have been getting the flu recently, and so maybe it's a reminder to get your flu shot next year. But a lot of us get a flu shot every year. And for a lot of us, I go in and I gotta admit, I am one of the cowards, okay? So I'm the one that, like, I can't watch. And, like, they used to have one where you could kind of snort up something. And I was like, but they said, no, that doesn't work as well. And so I'm like, I have to have the shot now, so I'm embarrassed. So I go in there and I get the shot. But what are they giving me when they give me that flu shot? They're giving me just a little bit of the flu, right? And that, the goal is to make you immune from all of the full-blown flu. And I think as parents, I think that's sometimes what we're doing when we give kids just a little bit of the things of God. And they're not knowing about the fullness and the power and the majesty and the glory of God and the fullness when we give them just a little bit about God. And Scripture teaches us that we are to love God with all of our hearts, every bit of it. We're to pursue Him and pursue the things of God. And the thing is, you know, I think for a lot of us, what we do as parents, this is what I think as parents our goal is, to give our kids just a little bit better than we had. I really think that's kind of what it boils down to. A lot of us work our whole lives and we bust our tails to give our kids just a little bit better. If we went on this kind of vacation and we drove, my kids, we might fly on our vacation. You know, we might get a car with the window doesn't crank. It actually pushes the button and it goes down. You know, we want just a little bit more for our kids. And so what do? We work our tails off and we try to give them the stuff that we think really matters, but really what matters is time with you and time with teaching them about the Lord and really conveying to them what it looks like to seek God with all of our hearts. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't become child-centered, we become God-centered. We have to, as parents, remain God-centered so that we can convey to them what it looks like to love God with all of your heart. I mean, I think a lot of us have probably seen or known, or maybe this has been you at times, where we've seen people come and they get involved in the church and they say, oh, I want this to be my place. I'm so excited, I can't wait, and I dive into everything. And just like that insert in the bulletin, they check every box. I want to get involved. And then after about 3 months of being super involved, all of a sudden they start to fade away and they start to get a little bit busy. And sometimes I'll run into them at the grocery store and they'll say, oh, how are you doing? Oh, we're good, things are good, but I'm sorry, we've just been too busy to get to church. I've joined this group, or my kids are now in the sporting event. It's just, I'm too busy. But what a danger that is, and what an example our kids need to see us involved in church. They really need to see us involved in church. And I'm not talking about just being involved, like coming, signing in the book, and then taking off. I'm talking about using your gifts. Real involvement where you use your biblical gifts and you become a part of the body of Christ, and you're a participant, and you have a biblical function, a role within the church, and you're serving, and kids get to see how important that is. There's a study that came out a number of years ago, but it's always had a big impact on me. It talks about if you want to see your kids following Christ and involved in church after they're grown up, it says 72% of them will follow Christ, be involved in their faith in Christ, if mom and dad take them to church. But if mom and dad don't take them to church, the reality is it says that 6% will be involved in their faith and following Christ and actively involved in the church. So moms, dads, grandparents, I got to tell you, it's incredibly important that we get our kids into church. We also get involved in church, that they see that in us. It's really, really important. And I think sometimes our families are really great examples of what the Holy Spirit sometimes needs to convict in us. Because we don't need to say we just love the Lord with God with all of our heart and soul and mouth. We're actually supposed to do it. Our actions should follow. And I got to tell you, I got some struggles as well. And with my kids, for some reason, I don't know why it is, but when they spill things, I just tend to lose it. I'm like, what? Why did you spill that? Why did you do that? You know, and I just kind of make a bigger deal than it should be. And I see this come out sometimes when you see your kids. You know, it was last week we went to a movie up in Salina, and I was trying to put Luke in the van, and he got in the van, and I put a drink right in the van as he was about to step in. Well, guess what? He stepped on the drink, and it just shot everywhere. It just went everywhere. And guess what Luke did? He's like, Dad, why did you put that there? Why did you do that? Why? I was like, oh, wait a second. Luke, that's not very good. And then I did a little reflecting with the Holy Spirit and said, I need to set a better example. I've got to watch that. I've got to, you know, really set an example of what it looks to love God, not with words, but also all my heart, all my actions. And so we've got to be able to pursue God. So we need to, our kids need to see the full counsel, the full glory of God, and we need to love God with all of our hearts. And I got to ask, you know, what if we were to go in each other's homes? You know, what would be on the DVR? What would be on the Netflix? What kind of language would we be using? You know, if somebody got into your checking account, what would it say the priorities are? I mean, that's the kind of thing. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? Our kids, our grandkids need to see that example. It's vitally important. The second thing Deuteronomy chapter 6 teaches us is this, and it's simple, that we are called to lead our families. We are called to lead our families. This comes from verse 7, 6, 7, 8, and 9. If you look at Deuteronomy 6, 7, 8, 9, it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead and write them on the door frames of your houses and the gates. That's what it's called. We are to literally be talking about this. We are called, biblically called, to lead our families. Lead our families. Talk about it on the way to school, on the way to the games. We're not talking about just when we're heading to church or just when we're trying to memorize a verse on the way to Awanas. We're talking about all throughout the week on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday. I mean, that's when we're talking about the things of God. And I got to tell you, we have to be intentional. We've got to be intentional. It will not happen just by accident. We have to be intentional. God has given you the divine authority to lead in your household. I thought it was kind of funny, kind of sad as well, that there was a gentleman, his name was Edward, he was the Duke of Windsor, and he had a quote, and I thought it was pretty amazing. It says, the thing that impresses me most about America is the way parents obey their children. I mean, let that sink in. The thing that impressed him the most was about America was the way parents obey their children. I mean, parents, I got to ask, are we the ones leading or are children leading? I think it's pretty convicting for a lot of us in our households. God has given us the spiritual authority, the divine appointment to lead our kids, and we've got to be intentional with them. Just a little example of what it looks like. I don't know what it's going to look like in your family, but I do know that what it looks like a little bit in our family. And maybe you can apply this in whatever way God has called you to lead your family. But our kids, I got to tell you, they don't really love reading. But one thing that Catherine and I have decided, and she's kind of a reading specialist over here at Eisenhower, and we've decided that we're going to read every night, just a little bit, to develop that love. And we're gonna teach them that's a high importance, that you're going to know how to read and read God's word and grow in God's word. So we literally have them read every night. I don't know, we also, praying is not an option. We pray all the time. We pray at night. We pray throughout the day. They know we pray on the way to sporting events and the way home from sporting events. We just pray, and that's what we do. We try to set that example. And we try to give them a standard where we show them what it looks like a little bit. We also, you know, want them to know that, I want them to know what it looks like to love their mom. So they know that I take her out and that mom gets treated, you know, I'm going to date Catherine, you know, and they're going to see that. I also try to spend some individual time with each of our boys so we kind of see what's going on in their world a little bit. But we lead intentionally. Sunday nights is a big deal. Some people get their kids involved in sports at a very young age. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm saying for us, we wait a little bit because Sunday nights is a big deal because we need to meet together as a family. And we do devotions together. We try to lead relationally, that following Christ in the Bocox house is going to be fun. And we have a great time. We have campouts on the trampoline or bonfires. But family time, setting family time is of very high importance. And I got to tell you, we are intentional about leading. We're not perfect. We blow it. We take times off as well. But I got to tell you, it's so important for us to lead. Proverbs talks all about what it looks like to train your children. And I know so many parents that have really just held to the verse in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And I got to tell you, parents, keep praying, keep holding to that verse, the foundation that you've given, what you've inputted into them, that they would hold firm to that and return to that if they've strayed away. But what that means is that train piece, train a child, it's from the Hebrew word kanuk. And what that means is the kanuk was actually the palate of your mouth. And it really translates to mean initiate, dedicate, or train. But the kanuk was the roof of your mouth. And what they would do in the Old Testament is an Israelite woman who would give birth to a baby, and she would have a Hebrew midwife there. And as soon as the baby was born, the Hebrew midwife would dip her finger in a little bit of paste and put it on the kanuk, the roof of the mouth. And what that would do was it would initiate hunger and a desire for the baby to eat. And parents, I'm telling you, that's our job, is to kind of initiate and plant a seed of the hunger so that our kids will know and want the things of God, what is true, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely. And they can really see that godly living works, that we're going to trust God with everything, and we're going to see. So parents, we have to plant that seed of hunger and desire for the things of God. And so I want to encourage you, that's what it looks like. We have to love God, and we have to lead our family. Just a couple verses I'm going to give to you real quickly that you can take home. You can write these down if you want. But parents, these are some ways that we're called to lead. You might want to train your children in how to manage God's money. Manage God's money. That comes from Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. And I got to tell you, managing your money, I was talking with one of my kids, this is about a month ago this happened, but it was on a Saturday night, and I was like telling Catherine, don't forget to write our tithe check for tomorrow, and I was telling her that this is important, and then all of a sudden one of my boys overheard us, and they said, Dad, you're going to give that? You're going to give that? And I was like, oh yeah. And I had a conversation, and I said, okay, this is a training moment. I said, this is an area we don't cheat God in. I said, this is an area that we talked about every blessing that God has given us. I said, this is not something we cheat God with. And so we teach literally our children how to train them to manage God's money. Maybe train them to carefully select friends. It's really, really important. Proverbs 13:20. Because a child that literally, as they start young and everyone's in the same boat, it all looks good. But I got to tell you, kids start to go different ways. They may not have parents that give them much oversight, and all of a sudden they can be following some friends that are leading them down a very destructive track. So we need to train them to be very careful about the kind of friends they select. We might need to train them with how to watch their words. Proverbs 4:24, that the words we use are to build others up, to encourage, not to tear down, not to gossip, not to slander. We need to train them how to, words have great impact. And so we need to teach them and train them. We need to train them to be responsible from Proverbs 6, verse 6 and 8. We got to train them to be responsible. What we say, if we say it, we're going to hold to it. We might need to train them to guard their minds from Proverbs 23, 7. I want you to know that guarding your mind is incredibly important because out of the mind, it goes to the heart, and out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what God's word teaches us. So truly, garbage in, garbage out. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? You know, what are you taking in? And that's why as parents, I gotta say, it's really important. Your child's momentary happiness is not as important as setting the standard. Setting the standard of righteousness, saying, you know, I have a talk a lot of times with my boys, say, okay, that may be the songs that everyone else is listening to. We don't listen to that. We don't go to that movie. We're sitting on a different trajectory. We are going a different way. And that will often not look like the way of the world. You also need to train them to be generous. That's from Proverbs 11:25. That's a lot of times we say, get what you can get. That's the kind of mentality. What if we would give what we can give? What if we have a little bit extra? We could bless someone. Set an example, model what it looks like to live a generous life. And finally, train them to fear God. Proverbs 1:7. We need to train them to fear God. There's not a very healthy respect of what it looks like to fear the Lord. We have a holy God. He has a holy standard. And we need to live before that holy God. And therefore, there should be a reverent fear that we raise our kids with. I want you to know, parents, it's so important. Are you leading your children? God's called you to. He's called you to love him, set an example of loving him, and then he's called you to lead them, intentionally lead them. Last thing I'll close with is just a quick story. A week and a half ago, our small group had an opportunity to lead, put on a dinner for a ministry over here called Step NC, MC, where it's helping people in poverty, out of poverty. And it was such an honor. Our group got to show them, our kids, one, how it looks like to love and serve together, how to be generous, that we would give and sacrifice to pull together the resources for a meal. And then our kids got to see us interact with each other and families and seeing them interact with one another. What a great example. We're trying to give our kids, just put that on the canuck of their mouth, where they initiate a desire to do that, to look more and more like the Lord and to fully trust him instead of being fully dependent upon us. And then about a week ago, there was a family that's been really sick and their kids have been really sick. And I found out on a Friday night that their son was going to be going to the ER. And I was telling Catherine, we were on the way back from Salina, I said, I'm probably going to go visit them. And all of a sudden, my son Ben overheard me in the back. And he said, Dad, is that, you know, the boy from church? And I said, yeah. And he said, what's going on? He said, he's sick, and he's going to the ER. And he said, Dad, we need to pray for him. And I got to just tell you, I was so excited. My kids are not perfect in any way, but it's those little moments when you start to see the transfer from dependent upon me saying, this is what we do, to now this is what I do. And he wanted to pray and lift up this boy to the Lord. And I was so excited that he was starting to get that idea that I am going to serve God. That's the idea for us parents, is we got to see them transfer that dependence to the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning.
We hope you have enjoyed this message from God's Word. If you would like to know more about New Hope and its worship services, please visit our website at newhopemcpherson.com. Remember,